KGRGFM, KGRGFM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, 70 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and I goddamn near drowned trying to walk into the building this morning.
It's not that bad.
It was awful.
It's not that bad.
It's pretty bad, man. Like, it's one of the few times where I'm just like, you know what, if it wasn't for this coat, I'd probably have an umbrella. So, I got a really nice, like, ski jacket for Christmas, and it keeps me all warm and nice, and I love it. But yeah, weather sucks, so if you're driving out there, be safe. I know that I-5 is all but like shut down coming out of Tacoma because of a jackknife semi, so have fun with that. And while you're waiting in traffic, just listen to The Buzz, because we actually broadcast that far. Or, you know, if you're listening on the app, that's cool too, I guess. We got your word of the week, super excited for that one. We also have your six pack. We may or may not have an interview this morning. Been talking to some people. We'll see how it happens. If it does, we'll let you know. Or you'll find out because you'll be listening. We also have your I Prevail tickets. We're giving those away every hour in the half hour with your regular news. So be listening. Your first chances at 6:30 after your geeky news at 6:20. And then we also have Hashed Out happening at 6:50. Super excited for the show this morning. Stay tuned because after Futsa Julie by Payne, we'll be back with your geeky news.
Geeky news.
89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. At 6:20, it's time for geeky news. We're gonna do some very video game related ones because it's starting to be that time of year where we're getting those video game rumors, and some of them are pretty exciting and some of them are frustrating. And you know what? That's okay. But first one we have, which is pretty exciting, Cheetah, Poison Ivy, and Catwoman are all in action in the new Injustice 2 trailer.
What?
And I'm excited, because I've been playing a lot of the Batman Arkham Knight video game. Yes, that one.
Okay.
And you get to play as Catwoman. Catwoman's a lot of fun to play with, because she has like her whip and she gets to run around and climb stuff with her cat claws. It's a lot of fun. Poison Ivy is another prominent Batman character who I'm really excited to actually see have a role in the games. Because that was something that you didn't see a whole lot of in the first game. The first game, there weren't a whole lot of very prominent female characters. They were there. They just weren't very prominent, which is unfortunate. And then Cheetah, she is a Wonder Woman villain from what I can remember. And she just reminds me of like those people who decide to turn themselves into cats.
That's fun.
Like they get the piercings that like make them look like they have whiskers. And they get the contacts and all that fun stuff. I'm not sure how she's a supervillain. I just know she's kind of crazy. So, there you go. All
right.
On top of that, you're also getting a Swamp Thing. For those of you who don't know, DC actually owns Swamp Thing, and it'll be interesting to see what he does. Now, the video game news that made me a little irritated was The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild expands with a DLC season pass. For those of you who don't know, that's the title of the new Zelda game coming out on the Nintendo Switch, I think they're calling it now, or it used to be NXT, or I don't know, man.
I don't know.
But I don't need more season passes and DLCs. As initially, when I was first introduced to DLCs, I was like, yeah, cool, whatever, they release content after the game was already produced. A lot of the times, yeah, the DLCs will come out, you know, a few months afterwards, but now I think I'm hopping on the train for DLC. Like, buying a season pass ahead of time just sort of annoys me. Why not include that sort of stuff into the game already? But Nintendo's Epic Open World takes on its classic fantasy adventure franchise. Already looks like it is one of the most massive games Nintendo has ever produced. But the game that launches on March 3rd for both Wii U and Nintendo Switch won't be the complete version. Nintendo just announced that starting on launch day, Breath of the Wild owners can purchase the expansion pass for downloadable Zelda content. For $20, Zelda players on both Wii U and Nintendo Switch can buy two sets of content, one coming in the summer, the other releasing during the holidays. So, why not just wait on the game a little bit longer and just release it with the game, though?
I don't know, man.
Last bit of geeky news we have. Thanos' master plan in Avengers Infinity War has been revealed. We already know that Thanos is considered the main character in the Avengers Infinity Wars, but we now know what his master plan is, and the goal he has in mind is what sets him on his journey. There are major differences in his reasoning than what's in the comics. The whole reason behind his universal destruction in the comics was to win over Death so they could court her affection. Kind of romantic.
Yeah.
But in one of the Doctor Strange special features, co-writer Stephen McFeely, I wish I had that last name, McFeely.
I don't.
Talked about...
I really don't.
Infinity War and described Thanos' ultimate goal as this. Quote, his goal is to rebalance the universe as he sees it. So when he figures out that the Infinity Stones could do this for him at the snap of a finger, that becomes his main goal. And we can only speculate as to what rebalancing the universe means, but it definitely doesn't sound like he is pursuing Death. Maybe he sees it as a cleansing of all superheroes who are rising in the universe. We'll see how it goes. The more I hear about Thanos and the more I hear about him being the main character in this movie, the more I get a little excited.
But as you should be.
That's your geeky news for this hour. We got your regular news coming up after the Menzingers on 89.9 KGRG FM.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG Presents I Prevail, March 8th, 2017. That's next month, guys. At El Corazon, you can get a pair of tickets right now. Call 253-833-5004.
Excellent.
I apologize for my voice.
Dude, I'm feeling it.
It's failing.
Like, I thought my voice was going to go this week. I didn't even know if I was going to be able to do the show this morning. I started feeling like tickle in the back of my throat. It's still kind of scratchy.
So scratchy.
Not sure if it's going to go or not. We'll see. Okay. But it's time to get into some news, and we're going to talk about the news that everybody cares about. The news as it concerns competitive doggo showing.
I mean, that is the most important kind of news.
Because we have the best in show winner for the 141st Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show that happened on Tuesday. And the prize goes to a German Shepherd named Rumor.
Oh.
He actually came out of retirement besting more than 2,800 other dogs that competed in New York this week. It marks the second time a German Shepherd has won the top prize of the show. The breed won, the breed last won back in 1987, which also represents the only other time a dog from the herding group has won at Westminster. That's pretty exciting. Good for him, man.
A little floof one.
Like, how do you bring a dog out of retirement? That's what I want to know. Like, is it just sort of hanging out at home? He's like, you know what? I got one more of me. I'm a good boy.
I'm very upset by what's happening.
Like, or how do you name your dog Rumor, too? Like, were they big Adele fans? Or I want to interview these people and find out. So if you're listening...
Maybe their last name is Willis?
Rumor Willis?
Yeah.
I don't get the reference.
They just are Rumor Willis. Maybe they're just like Bruce Willis's daughter. Is Rumor Willis. That's her name.
Weird.
Maybe they're just like huge Bruce Willis, Rumor Willis fans, and they're like, that's a dope dog name.
And my roommates own a German Shepherd, and they're very pretty dogs. Not the brightest, but they're definitely pretty.
He's a floof.
He just sort of floofs around. He's taken up hiding underneath coffee tables. That's his current pastime. Next news story, it's going to be a little bit more local. A local high schooler's brew up a business plan and start a coffee roasting company. Meanwhile, I can barely get my stuff together enough to, you know, leave the house for work on time. Mount Vernon, Washington, in between Friday night football games and studying for finals, three local high school seniors are learning the finer points of the French press. And the 17-year-old entrepreneurs, all students at Mount Vernon High School in Skagit County, recently started Conic Coffee Roasting, a small batch coffee roastery. The idea is the brainchild of Teal Chiloke. I hope I said that right, dude. I'm sorry.
I don't know what that means.
Who recruited his two best friends to start the business. The teens retrofitted an old garage over the summer into a space with wood paneling, ceilings, and walls, a record player, and couches. They found a 1989 Dedrick coffee roaster for sale in Vancouver, Ireland. It's older than they are by more than a decade. So, I'm going to have to hit these guys up. Try their coffee. We'll see if we can't contact them. I mean, if you're listening, call 253-833-5004. Was there ever a business that you wanted to start? But, like, if you could start your own business, what would it be?
I don't know if I can say that on the air. I'm just kidding.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Danica's a PIMP.
I don't know, man.
I actually tried brewing my own beer for a little bit. It was awful. But, you know, it got me drunk.
I'm lazy and I like people to do things for me, so...
I think the favorite thing I ever brewed was, we did our meet at one point, because we thought it would be cool and, like, be Vikings or whatever. My friend at the time, no. Dan, decided to drink an entire, like, big mixing bowl full of it.
No, no.
And he passed out in the middle of my living room.
No, no.
It was good times. Good times. Speaking of drunk people, our last news story for this hour. New Brunswick men are arrested after going through a McDonald's drive-thru on a sofa. Two New Brunswick men have been arrested after allegedly going through a McDonald's drive-thru on a couch. Marichami police say an officer spotted the couch being towed behind an ATV at 3:19 in the morning Thursday in a drive-thru.
That's the kind of night I want to have.
Right? Police say that the driver of the four-wheeler took off after the driver after the officer turned on the lights at the top of his cruiser, stranding the two intoxicated men outside the restaurant. She says the driver raced through the parking lot, across the highway, and onto the frozen river, towing the couch through much of his escape. Two local men, aged 28 and 39, will face yet-to-be-determined charges. They say it's illegal to tow a couch through a drive-thru, but the two men were wearing helmets, which is, you know, good news.
Safety first.
What do you even... Like, what charges do you get faced with that? Like, how do you charge somebody riding a couch?
Yeah, that's what I don't get.
What is it because the vehicle didn't have a license plate or what?
What if you just, like, put a license plate on the back of your couch?
There you go. I've actually seen a motorized couch before. Like, it had its own little steering wheel, had its own motor, and it had its own little wheels. It did its own thing.
I can't even talk.
But that's your news for this morning. If you want to win I Prevail tickets, we'll have them up next. There's Blank Space on 89.9 KGRG FM. Just call 253-833-5004 and you can win a free pair of tickets.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out, right here on The Buzz.
89.9 KGRG FM, you're listening to The Buzz. And it sounds like our construction neighbor's already getting at it.
I'm upset.
Right? Like, you can wait a little bit. Just a little bit, buddy. But it's time for Hash It Out, where we find those hashtags trending on Twitter. If you want to play along, our Twitter handle is @TheBuzzKGRG, and you can use any of the three we have for you this morning. We have #IfIWasYou. We have #MyLoveLifeIn5Words, because, you know, Valentine's Day was yesterday. But more importantly, Wayne's World has 25-year anniversary. That's more important than freaking Valentine's Day. We'll talk about that later. And then the last one we have is #ThingsAin'tNobodyGotTimeFor. So again, that's #IfIWasYou, #MyLoveLifeIn5Words, and #ThingsAin'tNobodyGotTimeFor. Let's go ahead and get it started off with #IfIWasYou. Because somebody decided to get a little sassy.
I love sass.
#IfIWasYou. I would use a little bit better grammar and say were instead of was.
Oh.
Also, #IfIWasYou, I would just roll with it. And it's just a little adorable gif of a panda, like a baby panda rolling downhill. We have #IfIWasYou, I would join the dark side. I mean, if you join the dark side, you tend to not have as many limbs chopped off. Think about Mace Windu had his hands chopped off. Luke had his hand chopped off. Like, a lot of limbs get chopped off if you're on the light side, so not recommended.
A lot of these are about grammar.
#IfIWasYou, I would find another place to sleep because I'm all good here. And then it shows a picture of a dog, and I can relate. Like, I get home in the mornings, or at least after the show, and if Thursday's still asleep, Emmett's in my spot, and he just sort of looks at me. It's like, buddy, just go sleep on the couch. It's not happening.
Oh, buddy.
So we've had to, like, we have to have a container of treats on our nightstand by our bed. And we've labeled them bribery treats. Because we have to bribe him to get off the bed so he can finally freaking lay down and go to sleep. And we also have #IfIWasYou. People need to understand. Oh no, not that one.
No, there we go.
Where was it? There we go. Hashtag if I was you, I would defend yourself because my name is Indigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Ha. Next one we have. Hashtag my love life in five words. This first one definitely relate to. Hashtag my love life in five words. Have the face for radio.
Oh. Poor guy.
Hashtag my love life in five words. Error 404, page not found.
Hashtag my life in five words. No, I don't send nudes.
I mean, nobody will want those from me either. I probably get paid more to keep my clothes on. Hashtag my love life in five words. My fridge is still empty.
Hashtag my love life in five words. Where are my chicken nuggets?
I mean, that goes hand in hand, right? My fridge is empty. I don't have any chicken nuggets. Hashtag my love life in five words. I have video of us. It's a little creepy, but okay.
That is... Hashtag my love life in five words. A series of unfortunate events. I don't know if we can say that one.
Hashtag my love life in five words. We're better off as friends.
My love life in five words. I put out for pizza.
I mean, same though.
Yes!
I also put out for pizza. If you want to send the pizza here, 253-833-5004. I'm not putting my cell phone on the radio. I'm just saying. I love me some pizza.
Hashtag my love life in five words. Netflix and chili cheese fries.
Yes!
Yeah, man. That sounds like a typical, like, weeknight for me. We'll move on to the last one here. Hashtag things ain't nobody got time for. That's a whole lot of swearing. Hashtag things ain't nobody got time for. Let's do this thing. We don't feel like waiting around.
Oh.
Like, if I need to go somewhere and, like grocery shopping, man. I ain't got time for grocery shopping. But I'll wake up, and I want to just get it done. I like having food. And it's easier just to go and get it all the way all at once in, like, one weekly trip than it is for me to, like, try to go daily, so.
You know what else ain't nobody got time for?
No, I don't.
Matching socks.
I actually don't have matching socks right now. Like, they came in the same pack, but for some reason they're all different colors, so.
That's fun.
Yeah, don't have time for matching socks. I relate. Can't say that one. Hashtag... Things ain't nobody got time for. Your detrimental attitude.
Yeah. This one, I feel like everyone feels on a personal level. Reading the terms and conditions.
I tried it once. And I found out I legally didn't own my own laptop. Like, with a computer, you legally don't own your own computer. At any time, the computer manufacturer could be like, yo, we want it back. You just sort of... renting it from them permanently? I don't know how it works, but yeah, it was a weird read.
Hashtag things ain't nobody got time for. The rapture.
Hashtag things ain't nobody got time for. All representatives are currently busy with other calls.
Oh.
Have you ever missed that? Like, been on hold and then just sort of missed the call?
Yeah.
It's the worst feeling in the world. But those were your hashtags for this morning. If you're playing along with Hash It Out, our Twitter handle is @TheBuzzKGRG. Hashtag things ain't nobody got time for. Let us know what you don't have time for. Hashtag my love life in five words. And hashtag if I was you, I would fill in the blank. This is The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. Stay tuned. We got your word of the week coming up next. After title fight, numb, but I still feel it. You're listening to The Buzz on KGRG 89.9 FM. Without further ado, I bring you the word of the week.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
KGRGFM, KGRGFM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP 7 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and it's time for your word of the week, where I try to help expand your vocabulary.
That's nice of you.
Right? I try. Some of these words are helpful sometimes. For example, Brobux is your word of the week this week.
Oh, I already hate it.
You don't like Brobux?
I already hate it.
Well, Brobux are a currency used between bros for the exchange of services based on years of friendship. Brobux have little or no value outside of friendship. Payments in Brobux usually mean that the service being provided will take forever to get done. For example, I call up my longtime buddy Rick to help me build my website. He's going to do it for free since I'm using Brobux, but I still have no idea when the website will be finished.
Oh.
And I'm not so sure about, like, taking forever to get done, but Brobux are those things. It's basically telling somebody you owe them. Like, if somebody helps you move, right? Obviously, you supply them with pizza and beer, because that's the respectful thing to do if they help you move, but you still owe them one. You still owe them, like, a Brobux, or at least five or whatever. Same thing if you and a group of friends all go out for lunch or whatever. Like, sometimes I'll go out with a friend to a fast food place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pain in the neck to try to split it up into different orders, right? So y'all put it on one order, you put it on their card, like, because who the hell carries cash anymore, and you just get them on the next one. You hand them a couple of Brobux. So, Danica, how long does it have to be in a friendship until you feel comfortable exchanging Brobux with somebody?
I really don't know. It just kind of depends on the person.
I feel it.
Like, if you got a friend that, like, you love them to death, but, like, you just know they're not really that reliable, and, like, you just, I don't know.
I did have one friend growing up, like, in elementary school, junior high, who never lent money to anybody. And, like, this went all the way through high school, even. Just because no matter how long we've been friends, he doesn't like being forced to, like, he doesn't like that pressure of owing somebody something or having somebody owe him something. He'd rather just have that be out of the friendship, because the second you start putting the whole, like, well, you owe me $5 from 3 months ago when we got cheeseburgers, it just sort of gets awkward. So yeah. I respected that. But then my friend Casey, like, we have an unspoken, yeah, I'll just get you next time. It's mainly with food. Like, if we get pizza or whatever, it's just, yeah, man, I'll cover the next one. Even if the next one's, like, 3 years down the road, we just know.
Yeah.
And it's always nice when you don't have to bring it up.
It's understanding.
Right? So, I think a minimum for starting to use Brobux, I have to at least know you longer than, like, 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because if I haven't known you for that long, I don't know how long you're going to stick around, man. Are you just going to dine and dash or what? Because
I'm not dine and dash.
I might need those Brobux eventually. You might need to cash in sometimes, right?
Exactly.
But that was your word of the week, Brobux on 89.9 KGRGFM. Currency used between bros for the exchange of services based on years of friendship. Brobux have little or no value outside of the friendship. And payments in Brobux usually means that the service being provided will take forever to get done. Call us 253-833-5004. Hit us up on Facebook, on Twitter. That's the BuzzKGRG. Let us know, do you have a friend who you exchange Brobux with? Are you very liberal with your Brobux giving, or are you sort of scrupulous with it? Stay tuned, because we got the situation coming up after history by This Wild Life.
Oh.
You're listening to The Buzz. KGRG 89.9 FM, you're listening to The Buzz. It's time for The Situation, where we have a series of little situations, little circumstances, and every choice comes with a reaction, right? With the consequence. So we're going to decide if the consequence is worth the reward with our various situations. Ready, Danica?
Yeah.
Our first one kind of reminds me of a movie I've seen.
Okay.
All right. You can travel into the future, but you cannot travel back into the past.
Hmm.
So, you can go as far forward as you want. There's just no going back.
Nah, man.
No?
Nah.
I don't think I would either.
Because, like, what if...
Like, part of the fun of going forward is to come back, right?
Like, what if you, like, see how your life is and you, like, married your dream girl, but, like, you go too far forward and, like, she dies and you never, ever get to, like, live your life with...
Oh, this is kind of like a Click. The Adam Sandler movie. Yeah.
You, like, you just see the end result of your life, but you never get to live it, like...
It's just sort of a bummer, yeah. I'm not down for that at all.
And I like not knowing things. Like, I don't plan anything out. I just kind of decide, like, I want pizza right now or whatever. I don't know what's happening.
56% of the internet said they would travel forward in time, even if it meant they couldn't travel back, and 44% said they're okay without the time traveling.
I think the only time that I would ever want to do this is I would just travel forward just enough that, like, my workday was over, and then I would go home.
That's fair, because you'd still technically make the money, right? Or hopefully.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't have to live through that workday. That's the only time I would.
Next one we have, you can read anyone's mind, but thoughts and speech become indistinguishable. So you're not sure if somebody's thinking something, or you're not sure if they're saying it out loud.
That's like some Twilight Edward Cullen crap.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I would or not, because knowing me, they'd be thinking something that they wouldn't want said out loud.
And then you respond to it, and like, Satan's at work.
They just dagger you.
Yeah.
Or just hearing all this. I'd be interested to hear how many people, like, swear at me in their thoughts, because... There are customers who I'm just like, oh, you stupid SOB. I freaking hate your guts. Friggity frack self-censorship, yo.
Friggity frack self-censorship.
So, there'd be a lot of just, oh my god, this person's so effing annoying. Ugh. And I'm interested to hear that.
Or like, what if it was like a pervert and they were just like, saying all these like really gross things.
That are... I think the first thing I would do would be to go to a showing of 50 Shades Darker.
No.
Just to hear what the other people in the audience are thinking.
No, I don't want that.
Because there'd be some freaks in the audience. But then, you know, there's a couple of dudes just like, fried chicken.
No.
Just completely tuning the movie out.
Probably.
48% of the internet said they would love to have mind reading powers. 52% of the internet said... You can keep your dirty thoughts to yourself, mister. All right, next one we have. And this will be our last one. You get all of the money and possessions you could ever want, but when someone smiles at you and waves at you, you have to smile and wave back.
That's like... why is that bad?
So, imagine somebody catches on, though, and knows that you have to, like, wave and smile back. Like, yeah, your worst freaking enemy, man. They're just like, no, I can just mess with this guy. If I just wave, they're going to have to wave back.
Like, even now, like, if I don't particularly like somebody, I'll still be, like, courteous, be like, oh, hi, how are you? And I'll, like, wave at them. Like,
well, no, but if somebody uses that power for evil.
Whatever, I still got a bunch of money. I can just, like, use it to move away from them.
I guess. Yes.
I'm from a really small town where, like, even strangers who you don't know, when, like, a car passes, you do, like, the wave thing to each other. Like, a pedestrian's car is, like, everyone waves to each other. And it's really weird. Like, because I'm not there, like, all the time, so, like, I'm not used to this. And I didn't wave to somebody, and they just looked at me like I stabbed their dog right in front of them.
And I guess... In Seattle, we have that, like, Seattle cold shoulder or Seattle freeze where...
Yeah.
It's the complete opposite problem. You don't really have people waving at each other or really talking to... You don't have strangers talking to each other.
I know my grandpa came here and was like, people are rude here.
It takes a little bit. Like, even if you go to a bar to try and make friends, people just think you're weird.
Stranger danger.
Right? But that was the situation on 89.9 KGRG FM. Feel free to weigh in. you think we got it wrong, hit us up on Twitter and Facebook at TheBusKJRG or call us 253-833-5004. Your news is up next after Amber by Burn Burn Burn.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG Presents Water Parks, February 17th at Elkhorn Zone. Call right now, 253-833-5004, and get a pair of tickets.
Woo! And before we get into the news, our buddy Christian called in. He called 253-833-5004. He actually said he's never experienced the Seattle cold shoulder, and that, like, people in California are more stuck up. I get it, but he also said, like, he's a big friendly Hawaiian dude, and both my grandpa and my dad grew up in Hawaii, and they've got that Hawaiian mojo going on.
I wish I was a big friendly Hawaiian dude.
I'm not big, but I'd like to think I'm a friendly Hawaiian dude. But it's... My dad and my grandpa, they can walk into, like, any room and instantly make friends. It's weird. It's a Hawaiian thing. So, keep that mojo flowing strong, buddy. But let's go ahead and get into some news. Our first news, this guy wasn't making any friends. In fact, kind of the opposite.
Oh, buddy.
A guy texted, "Help me kill my wife."
What?
But instead of texting the person he intended it to...
He texted his wife.
He texted his boss. Well, now former boss. And this is actually locally on Monroe, Washington. A 42-year-old Monroe man apparently thought he was texting a hitman when he offered to split a $1.5 million life insurance payout for killing his wife and young daughter, according to Snohomish County prosecutors.
What? Why the baby?
But the text addressed to Shane was accidentally sent to the man's former boss, who called 911 Tuesday evening and showed the message to sheriff's deputies. Says a statement of probable cause outlining the case against the suspect. A judge ordered him held in Snohomish County Jail in lieu of $1 million bail after finding probable cause on two counts of criminal solicitation for first-degree murder, domestic violence, jail, and court records show.
Why kill the baby, too?
Man. Like, that's... I don't think I've ever wanted somebody dead enough to actually want to do something about it. There are people who I'm just like, oh my god, if you just drop dead tomorrow, I wouldn't care at all. But I've never actively sought to kill anyone. And, yeah, this sort of stuff is paranoid with me, too. I know the NSA is out there reading my text messages and my emails. Darn government making me wear my tinfoil hat.
I don't think I would go through, like, the effort of trying to off somebody. But if, like, I saw them and they were, like, in the desert and dying of thirst, I'd be like, you know what, I need this water all to myself.
You wouldn't pee on them if they were set on fire?
No. Maybe I'd pee on them, but, like, not to help them.
Next news story for all of you lovebirds out there waking up after your Valentine's Day festivities. Maybe you went and saw a movie, right? Well, law enforcement's asking couples to stop emulating Fifty Shades franchise.
No.
Firefighters and police officers are reaching out on social media to request that adventurous couples exercise caution this Valentine's Day and afterwards. The fire department in Zagreb, Croatia is politely asking residents to feel free to have fun and be creative, but be careful. The department reports it had to help 4 people who were stuck in handcuffs last year.
Oh my god.
A London fire brigade, however, took a much more honest approach to this request. Using the hashtag 50 Shades of Red, the department created a report and a number of Valentine's-themed graphics to show how many people have had body parts stuck in objects on recent Valentine's Day and what it costs taxpayers.
Oh, no.
The brigade estimates that in the last 5 years it has responded to at least 102 incidents involving people being trapped in handcuffs and 810 incidents involving rings that need to be removed from body parts.
No.
Brigade reported that it also had to release a man from toasters and vacuums.
No.
It also reported that each incident cost taxpayers at least $407, or a total of $1,035,147 over the past 3 years. And the increase in such events is directly related to the release of the 50 Shades of Grey books and films. The Brigade and Zareb Police Department said on social media, both novels and films feature explicit descriptions of consensual relations between a young woman and a businessman, in case you didn't know.
They're getting down to business.
So if you're out there, you do you. We're not judging. Just be safe and know where the keys are.
Don't make the fire department be a part of it.
Nah, because it doesn't end as well as it does in the movies or those online videos. Not at all. I actually have a friend who like had a first date, and he's like, I'm going to go take her to see that movie. All right.
Oh, my God.
Last news story. A Florida tourist was arrested for mailing himself meth in a hotel.
Same.
Robert Bear, a 24-year-old from Arizona, was arrested at a hotel in Key West on February 8th after allegedly mailing some meth there. Bear was hoping to try meth for the first time while he was on vacation on the Florida island. When Bear mailed the package, he was not yet a guest at the hotel, and so it had addressed it only to the hotel. When staff opened the small box, they found the drugs wrapped in dirty socks and paper. Bear had included his name and return address on the package. After finding the drugs, the hotel called the police, and an undercover officer was sent to the hotel to act as the hotel manager. Bear arrived, checked in with the phone manager, received his package, and was then arrested in the lobby after a brief struggle by more undercover officers.
What a dum-dum.
Yeah, like, how is that a thing you want to try on vacation? That would just stress me the hell out. Like, who goes on vacation and is just like, you know what? I have a nice relaxing day by the pool. I'm going to go to Key West is famous for the beach. I'm going to go to the beach, enjoy some key lime pie.
Corey, I have a meth-related story.
Do you?
Yeah. So the other day I was leaving work. I had to take the bus home. And I'm standing at the bus stop, and there's these two people sitting on, like, the little bench. And, like, their face kind of messed up, and, like, their teeth, you can just kind of tell that they're into some kind of recreational thing. That,
typically,
like,
you can, yeah.
F's up your face a little bit. And then, like, I see, like, some paraphernalia, like, in their hands, and I'm like, oh, it's going down right now. And they put, like, a coat over their head, and then I just see, like, stuff happening under there, and I'm like, this is happening. I'm right here.
My only meth run-in was at my first, like, full-time job. I was, you know, organizing the makeup section. It was late on a Sunday night. Nobody comes in. We were slow as hell.
Did you find meth in the makeup section?
I found meth in the makeup section. Like, it was a little baggie. Had little, like, Black Widow spiders on it. I picked up the bag. I was like, what the hell is this?
Spiders on it?
Oh, yeah. God. It's a little tiny bag. So I took a picture, sent it to my manager, and he's just like, Corey, that's meth. It's like, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to call the cops, and they're going to pick it up. A police officer came in, and he's just like, well, this is some pretty high-grade stuff. It's like, how would you know, Mr. Officer?
Because they probably deal with that stuff all the time, if it's a narcotics officer.
So, and then I spent the remainder of my evening just sort of keeping an eye on the makeup section to see if there are any, like, angry patrons just sort of roaming through, or, like, anybody messing up my makeup displays.
Oh, it's the worst when they mess up your makeup displays.
Dude, I put a lot of hard work into those things. They take some effort to put together sometimes.
True.
That's your news on 89.9 KJRG-FM. If you want to win some water parks tickets, that's 253-833-5004. It's the number to call. Win yourself some free tickets. We got Territory by Water Park up next. You're listening to The Buzz.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
It's time to start cracking open our six-pack on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. Hey, Danica, what's our six-pack?
It is a list of awesome and not-so-awesome things.
Yeah!
Yes!
And we're gonna get into some movie theories.
Okay.
Mainly, it's gonna be the top six answers to movie questions you've always wanted to know. So, you watch movies, right? And you're sort of like, well, why not the thing? Or what's going on with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna count down the top six, and we're gonna start with a fairly obvious one. Number six is going to be, how did the Joker get his scars?
Okay.
The Joker has two versions in the origin of his scars, which he tells to Gamble and Rachel in The Dark Knight. First, he says that his father mutilated him, and then he declares he stuck a razor in his mouth and created his own scars after his wife was attacked. Fans of the movie might interpret these as just insane ramblings or lies, but in reality, says a theory on Reddit, the villain is creating a theatrical performance because he is not insane. He wants people to think that things happened to him and that the emotional abuse made him lose his mind. This theory also states that the Joker is a man without a past because no one truly knows his origins or where the scars really came from. He's able to use other people's past to manipulate them, including Batman himself, but he cannot be subjugated to the same kind of manipulation. This means that he is an evil genius who doesn't give up any of his secrets, including how terrible these scars really came about. And just as a Batman fan in general, this is something that you always try to think about. Spoiler alert for you comic fans out there, they eventually reveal that there's more than one Joker, and they also sort of reveal his origin story in the comic books also, but in terms of like the cinematic universe or the Dark Knight universe, they never really reveal it. And I could see him being just being some dude. Part of the appeal behind Joker is where Batman is a guy who had one bad day, like his parents got killed, really bad day, and ended up becoming something better of it. Joker is the, he's a symbol of somebody who had a bad day and decided to let it get to him. Anybody technically could become the Joker. Just one bad day is all it takes to make you snap.
That could have been the Batman.
He could have also been the Batman. Number 5, Dick, I think you'll like this one. Honestly, I'm baffled by this one too. Number 5, where did Boo's parents think she was?
Right, though?
In Monsters, Inc., a little girl follows a monster named Sully back to Monstropolis via her bedroom door. Sully is terrified of her, but since he believes humans to be toxic, repeated efforts to return her to the bedroom fail, and she becomes stuck in his world. After a full day of mishaps and adventures, Sully is able to return the little girl named Boo to her home, and all is well again. However, this raises the question of how Boo's parents were reacting to their daughter's disappearance. This is not addressed in the movie, and many fans feel that this is not a realistic ending, even for an animated movie, since the parents would have been frantic considering their daughter was missing for at least 24 hours. Like, daughter was straight up gone.
She gone.
And we know that time passes relatively similar in the monster world, or at least, because like they pop up in random places at night, and their whole thing is they have to scare people for energy.
Yeah.
And since time passes at a similar rate, just about, you have to assume so, how did these people not know their kid was gone? Or even, like, the babysitter realized the kid was gone?
They don't care.
Right? That's just sad. Number 5, or number 4, because I know how to count. Did Jason really drown?
Ooh.
In the original Friday the 13th, it is assumed that Jason Voorhees drowned when he was at camp as a young boy. It is thought that the camp counselors were distracted and didn't notice Jason was absent until it was too late, much like Boo's parents. Jason's mother took revenge by killing off some of these counselors back then, and also years later when the camp is reopened. In the second film, Jason is revealed to be alive and living in a forest, and is not explained how he came back to life and is in fact drowned in 1957. And honestly, the first Friday the 13th, one of my favorite horror movies ever. The one with like Kevin Bacon in it.
Ugh.
It's great. Young Kevin Bacon was a little weird looking, though.
I love you some bacon.
Why was drowning declared the reason for Jason's disappearance if there was nobody to prove it? Well, if he never drowned, did he for some reason just wander off and stay behind? Some fans of the franchise believe the inclusion of the Necronomicon in Jason Goes to Hell solidifies the theory that Jason did drown and was resurrected off-screen. And there are also a couple of times where just he comes back as a zombie, or was it in Freddy vs. Jason, you have him like buried underneath the ground and you have his mom's creepy voice just, "Wake up, my son, blah, 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 blah. You need to wake up and kill all the naughty teens going around and having unprotected relations and smoking marijuana." That's what happens in that movie, man. The start of one of the Friday the 13th remakes, it starts off with a couple getting it on in a tent while a couple other dudes decide to wander off and go find marijuana plants.
Okay.
That's why, like, I don't ever want to be in a horror movie. I'd be the first one to go, man.
Excuse me, the stoned one?
Both? I mean, that's a way to go, right? Just high out of your mind and in the arms of a woman you love, or at least you tolerate or you think they're hot. I don't know. But that is our first part of our six pack, numbers 3, 2, and 1 of the top six movie questions you always want to know the answers to. Just a quick recap. Number 6 was, how did the Joker get his scars? Number 5 was, where did Boo's parents think she was? Number 4, did Jason really drown? Stay tuned, because after Thrown by Bring Me the Horizon, we'll be back with part 2, which is numbers 3, 2, and 1 on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
And now, back to the six pack.
KGRG FM, KGRG FM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Seminole Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. We're in the middle of our six pack, our top six list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. And this one goes out to all you cinemaphiles out there. It's the top six movie questions you always want to know the answers to. Quick recap, number 6 was, how did the Joker get his scars in the Dark Knight trilogy? Because they never really explained that one.
They sure didn't.
They gave a couple of, he gave a couple of stories, but they never confirmed any of them. Number 5 was Boo from Monsters, Inc. Where did her parents think she was for at minimum a day, if not longer? And then number 4 was, did Jason Voorhees really drown? Theory on that one is, yeah, probably. But let's go ahead and get into number 4, speaking, or number 3. God,
what's
I can't
happening?
Count this morning. Number 3, speaking of people who drowned, why didn't Jack just get on the door during the Titanic? Well, as many people out there as there are that simply can't stomach the movie Titanic, there are also just as many staunch fans of the blockbuster hit. Some of these fans still don't understand why Jack just couldn't get on the floating door alongside Rose to survive the freezing water.
And she said that she would never let go. Girl, he let go. He let go.
It seems simple enough. Rose could have scooted over a couple of centimeters and Jack could have clambered onto the door and given himself a chance of survival. But after the initial try sinks the door, he stays in the ICC. It is likely that the door would not have been able to hold both their weight, as his added weight would have let the water level rise, leaving them both to freeze in it. And I think Mythbusters even did one on there where they're just like, you know what? He probably could have fit here, here, and here. But you gotta account for like wet clothing and I don't know, man. I get why they did it.
It's a lot of factors going into it.
And it kind of stays historically accurate.
Yeah.
Back when I was in fifth grade, we actually did an entire unit on the Titanic. So everybody in class was assigned a character. The character was a person who was actually on the Titanic, like real name and everything, and even where they were located on the ship.
Who were you?
I don't remember, man. This was years ago. But all I remember is I was like some like lower class dude who just sort of like, it didn't end well. But spoiler alert. So throughout the unit, we had to like write a story from the point of view of our person, just sort of like, did we think this person survived? What did they do during the boat crash? Blah, 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 blah. My dude went and rescued people out there floating around in the sea. After the unit was over, at the end of the unit, as you were leaving class, the teacher would stand by the door. And as you passed through, he'd be like, oh yeah, you died or you lived.
Oh.
I was a depressed little fifth grader going home knowing a past self died.
Poor buddy.
Number 2 in our six pack of the top 6 movie questions you really wish you had the answers to. What happened to the taxi driver in Deadpool? Ryan Reynolds turned his Deadpool character into one of the best anti-heroes on the big screen in 2016. He had a dirty mouth, a penchant for chimichangas, and is literally unable to feel pain. He also gives dubious, seemingly heartfelt advice, as is evident in the conversation he had with the taxi driver, Delphinder. After convincing Delphinder that he should not give up on the girl of his dreams just because she has fallen in love with his good-looking cousin, Bantu Deadpool learns that Delphinder has been bundled Bantu in the trunk of his taxi and was planning to murder him. Deadpool forgets his duffel bag with weapons in the taxi. Then Delphinder gets into an accident, leaving the trunk crumpled up. The car is in the middle of an intersection. What happens next remains a mystery, with many fans wondering what Delphinder and Bantu's fates were. Hopefully the sequel shed some light on it. Because we are supposed to get Deadpool soon.
I
want to
know.
Right? The number one in our top six list of movie questions you wish you had the answers to. Did the top in Inception fall over? In Inception, Leonardo DiCaprio plays the role of a thief, Dom Cobb, who is able to infiltrate people's subconscious while they're in a dream state to steal their valuable ideas and secrets. To leave his life of crime behind, Cobb has to reverse his skill by planting an idea in the mind of a CEO, which could make the man believe that the idea was his own. In the movie, Cobb had a totem in the form of a top that he spins. If the top topples over after spinning, he's awake. If it continues to spin, he is still dreaming. After all of his advice in the movie and spending a lot of time in the dream world, Cobb returns home to his children. At the very end of the movie, the top is shown spinning round, but then shortcuts out without revealing whether the top falls over or continues to spin. This left fans wondering whether Cobb was still awake or still in the dream world. That's kind of a dick move.
It really is. Stop doing that.
Like, oh man, did he make it out alive? Is he dreaming? Is he really with his family? You'll never know. That's like the stupid dream ending of Godfather or whatever. Like, you're just ripping people off at that point. It's not a twist. You're just a jerk.
A great big jerk.
Well, that's our six-pack this morning, the top six list of the movie questions you wish you had answers to. We'll be back. It sounds like our special guest is here, so we will be having an interview with Johnny, the lead singer of Cashing and Karma. He's got a show at Real Art Tacoma tomorrow night. We'll be talking to him all about that coming up after Middle Class Rut by One Dead Away. Other way around, One Dead Away by Middle Class Rut. I know what I'm doing. You're listening to The Buzz.
Do you?
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG Presents Water Parks at El Corazon on February 17th. If you want a free pair of tickets to see Water Parks perform at El Corazon on February 17th, you just got to call 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004. But let's go ahead and do some news a little bit early. How you doing, dude? Oh, I should probably turn your microphone on, huh? That'd help. Hey, look, you're on now.
Am I on now?
You're on the radio now.
Hey,
congratulations.
Look at me. That's me. I'm on the radio. All right, so starting off, we got some news about immigration. Someone protected by DACA program... let me start over. Someone protected by DACA was detained last week. Daniel Ramirez Medina, 23, was detained on Friday by Immigration and Customs Enforcement in Des Moines. Despite having a valid work visa under Obama's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA program. This program is designed to give some protection and aid to people who were brought to the U.S. illegally as a child. Medina has no criminal record. He has a son and he is employed. He's being held on the grounds that he admitted to being in a gang, but his lawyer maintains that he denies any gang activity and could have been coaxed by ICE agents to confess. Medina is currently suing the federal government for his arrest.
Who openly admits to that, too? Who's just like, yeah, I'm in a gang.
Yeah, of course I'm in a gang, dude. What do you think I do all day? Anyway, so some pretty crazy Russia news. Russian aircrafts buzzed a U.S. destroyer ship in the Black Sea, according to the Pentagon. Four Russian planes flew very low and very fast over the USS Porter last week. One Russian Su-24, which I imagine is the name of a plane, flew within 200 yards of the ship at a speed of over 500 knots, which I did some Googling and found out that is over 576 miles per hour, which is faster than I've ever been. This jet was armed. The other three planes involved were not armed and didn't fly quite as close, but Captain Dan Hernandez, spokesman for the U.S. European Command, calls this behavior unsafe and unprofessional, which I mean...
I still don't get, like, nautical terms either, like knots or starboard or port or whatever.
Port, starboard, yeah.
I'd be the world's worst pirate, man, I swear.
I don't know, I feel like that job's fairly easy, as long as, like, you're good with, like, you know, messing people up. Anyway, so safe and unsafe, unprofessional. The planes were flying with their transponders off as well, and didn't respond to radio communications from the destroyer. So it happened, and they tried to contact them, and they didn't get back to them. Flying with the transponder off is kind of dangerous because they're used to help like identify the planes and locate them and stuff. And so somebody said it could have been, you know, detrimental because they couldn't have predicted where they were sufficiently or something like that.
Hey, but he's just trying to practice safe flying and not be distracted while he's flying with,
exactly,
with the transponder.
He's not transponding and driving. Yeah,
exactly.
I get it, man. So actually, I got more airplane news for you, but this one involves Indiana Jones. Yeah.
Oh,
believe
boy.
Or not, Harrison Ford was involved in a plane incident at a California airport. He was piloting one of his private planes. He has a whole bunch.
Just one of them?
Yeah, no, he's apparently like a plane collector, which is pretty crazy. You have to be pretty rich to do that. Piloting his private plane, and was directed towards a runway. By accident, he aimed for a taxiway, and he passed over a 737 that was carrying 110 passengers and its 6-person crew. The airliner departed normally after this event, but Ford was quoted as asking air traffic control, "Was that airliner meant to be underneath me?" The FAA is investigating the incident, and Ford's pilot license may or may not get suspended after this. Ford has actually crash-landed a handful of planes and helicopters, and in the past has been like revered and, you know, called a very good pilot. He's on a few occasions actually saved a lot of lives in those crash planning.
Those plants crashes.
Yeah, that was when he was crashing all those plants, you know. But anyway, so that's Harrison Sword is up to some crazy business. Anyway, weather is rainy and 48 degrees. A high today of 52 and a low of 47. Traffic. Stop and go on I-5 North all the way to Seattle, unfortunately, just like every day. I-5 South is the same, just like every day, from Linwood to Seattle. 167 North is slow out of Auburn until Kent, and 405 is slow in both directions, but worse going north, from Renton to Bellevue. 90 West has some slowdowns from Snoqualmie to Bellevue, a lot of slowdowns actually, and again, slows down again over Mercer Island. That's your traffic.
There you go. You did it. You made it through.
Ah, well done, me.
Take a bow, dude. Take a bow.
I'm bowing.
That's your news on 89.9 KGRG FM. Stay tuned. We got Cashing and Karma coming up next for a little interview before their show at Real Art Tacoma. That's tomorrow night. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Buzz.
Good news, everyone. We've got a very special delivery today.
You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM, and I've got the guys from Cashing and Karma with me. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
All the way from, you guys had to drive in from Lakewood.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's cool.
Oh,
it's all right. I'm from UP, and trying to get past the Tacoma Dome usually takes me a couple hours. So.
That was a nightmare.
The traffic wasn't pleasant, but
it's beautiful.
Know.
But you're actually up here because you have a show down in the south end at Real Art Tacoma. That's on South Tacoma Way. That's tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
That's going to be lit.
That's exciting. Like, Real Art's one of my favorite places to go. I think the show is, what, $7 if you pre-order tickets or $10 at the door. So it's super, super cheap.
Yeah.
Most shows are like $25 per ticket, and that's always a bummer.
And it's a 3-band bill, so you definitely get to have the full experience.
Getting your money's worth.
Yeah.
There you go.
All groups. Too.
Actually, our close friends from Seattle, they're called Northern Shakedown, and they're going to be playing with us. We're really excited to be sharing the stage with them again.
They're real sick. I swear, every time we play with them, it's just a whole nother feeling. I swear.
Well, what's it like being in the Seattle scene and making friends? Because you guys, it sounds like, have been in the scene a little bit. You've made a couple of friends. I met Johnny at the morning after release party.
Which was awesome.
It was great.
Yeah, it's been really awesome just getting out and meeting a lot of new people. It's also led to just a lot of growth, individually and within the band.
Preach.
It's been pretty awesome.
It's a lot of fun, right?
Definitely. Do learn how to, like, talk to people and get out of your comfort zone when we're at shows and when we're even just attending someone else's show to show, like, some support and stuff. And making those connections, like, later down the road, you never know when, like, you can do each other favors and make that, like, you know, a relationship that lasts through, you know, the other shows and jumping on each other's bills and hanging out outside of, you know, the music scene in general. So.
And how cool is it meeting fans at shows?
It's so awesome. I think it's just another experience that really bodes well. I think going to shows is kind of like a really chill social LinkedIn, where it's just like you meet some person that really likes your stuff. They don't even have to be in a band, but they say, oh, I have a friend. He can help you make this EP or help you make a music video. There's just a whole lot of connections we make from just being out and seeing people or, and just talking and that enjoy our time.
Yeah, there's this couple, JD and Danielle, and they're pretty awesome. They've been showing up to almost every show.
Yeah,
definitely.
They're awesome people to hang out with.
Well, let's talk about your stuff a little bit because you have an EP coming up. This is my first time meeting you guys and hearing any of your stuff. How would you describe yourself? Because it's always interesting to hear bands talk about themselves and what they think they sound like. That's my favorite thing in the world. It's just like, what sort of band are we? Are we noise band?
Rock band.
We're kind of like a genre bending alternative rock band. We don't really stick to one. It's kind of hard to explain, but we don't like to make our songs sound the same.
Keep people listening. Give them something to listen to.
A lot of people have been like relating us recently to the Arctic Monkeys,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not the biggest fan. I do appreciate and respect their music.
I'm a fan.
And other members of this band are definitely fans of the Arctic Monkeys, but that's just kind of like a general idea of a sound that is similar to ours, I guess.
Okay.
Or we're similar to.
I mean, honestly, it's one of those things where you kind of put it. Should have darted at the board that has every genre on the list, and I think we kind of have elements of a lot of it. I don't know about you guys, but I don't really consider us country, but outside of all that, or hip-hop, yeah, but outside of all that, I think we just kind of go on our own little path of just itself.
I mean, there's always time, right? You can always release a country single or a hip-hop single.
Maybe.
My dog gone and died.
I don't know.
I don't think I have it in me.
Way down on the countryside.
How do you play country bass?
You get a banjo and you just do the thumb.
Let's play banjo. Good idea.
Or you learn how to do that little slide thing. I'm not sure what it's called,
ooh,
but it's,
ooh, the glass.
I kind of want to learn how to do that, actually.
There you go.
People do that on bass.
Wow.
That would be cool.
All right.
It's so nifty.
So you got some stuff to work on.
Oh, yeah.
So what's your favorite part of the recording process? Because you guys are putting out a new EP. Do you guys enjoy sitting in the studio, or is it just the world's biggest chore?
So
face off.
Okay. So probably my most exciting part is kind of just getting in there and then building it up one track at a time and then just slowly seeing it come together. And then when we get in there, we're just so excited. And like the last time we went in there, we recorded with this guy named Shad at Decade Sound Studios, and we're going to be going back and recording with him again. It was just a great time, and all the excitement that we had built into our last EP, which was released on November 26. It was just awesome. We were really excited.
What sort of munchies do you bring in with you? Because that's a long time.
Pizza.
Oh, there's a grocery outlet like less than a block away, so we kept just frequenting there and.
Yeah.
Yogurt covered pretzels and
Subway.
Vitamin
chips
water for
and
days.
Vitamin Ices. Water. And
oh, yeah,
Subway
you gotta
sandwiches.
Balance it out somehow, right?
Yeah, it's gotta be somewhere.
And what kind of, what is balance?
it's like where you low end on health food and then try to like balance up the junk.
I've just never heard of it.
Yeah, if you eat bell peppers on your pizza, it's technically a vegetable.
Yeah, you know, I like eating vegetables, so I get a lot of pizza.
Although fruit is a whole other story. If I see someone with a pineapple on their pizza, it's kind of weird to me. I just, you don't trust it. You kind of don't trust it, but whatever.
Pineapple on pizza is fantastic.
I think you're lying.
I'm okay with, like, chicken barbecue pineapple. I'm okay there.
Yeah.
But I've actually seen somebody do just pineapple marinara sauce, and I'm just like, what is wrong with you?
My brother does that kind of stuff, and every time I look at him, I'm just like, I think I might be on the news someday saying, he was just a nice kid. I don't know what went wrong. It was something that happened. It's that pineapple.
Yeah, so a bowl of marinara sauce with pineapple chunks in it, or are you talking about a pizza still?
It's still a pizza.
Oh, okay. But, like, well, that sounds great to me.
Oh, man. For those of you just tuning in, I'm talking to Alex, Will, and Johnny of Cashy and Karma. They're going to be playing at Real Art Tacoma. I got names right?
Will isn't present.
Will's not present.
I just to give viewers some notice, I tried to psych him out earlier, and I said my name was Will, just to kind of mess with him. I'm sorry, I had a time. My bad. I'm Melvin.
The radio host is bad luck.
I'm a gracious guest, I swear.
Oh, Melvin.
You gotta give us your name then, or what?
Yeah, sorry, my name's Melvin.
There you go. Hi, Melvin. How are you doing this morning? Thank you for joining us. You just showed up. Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun.
Where did Will go?
Let's talk about your music video, because you guys have one out already. Where can people find it?
You guys can find it on YouTube, and if you just type in Cashing in Karma, it should come up. It's our self-titled track off of our EP called Earthbound, and we recorded it in downtown Tacoma, and we kind of just mixed it in with a whole bunch of nature shots and us jamming in our space.
I love downtown Tacoma. Like, it gets a really bad rap, and granted, if you go there after dark, it's definitely kind of sketchy.
6 Ave's pretty nice.
6 Ave's really nice. I actually work on 6 Ave.
Yeah, I work downtown. It's not the worst. It's gotten a lot better of late. Oh, yeah. But I mean, yeah.
If you're walking by Wright Park at like 10 o'clock at night, you're in trouble.
Yeah, there's
a church right there.
Yeah,
but actually, there are like three churches next to Wright Park.
A trinity of churches.
Well, there's Trinity, the church. Almighty Trinity.
Okay.
But what sort of places do you go around downtown Tacoma since you guys were in that area?
Grit City Ballroom. If you're trying to swing dance, that place is rad.
I don't think I've ever swung danced before, but
that's a blast. Great way to meet girls.
go to a couple bars here and there. I love the Spaghetti Factory. It's always been a favorite.
Nice.
Mazithra cheese. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I chill down at 6th Avenue a lot. I like the record stores down there.
Yeah, because High Voltage is down there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've become almost like 3/4 of the way hipster. I have a vinyl turntable, basically. So I've been just building my vinyl library as I wear all my flannel and my lensless glasses.
No. Would you take the Tacoma hipster scene over the Seattle hipster scene, or the other way around?
He's 3/4 hipster, Tacoma. So Tacoma.
Well, you gotta pick one. Tacoma all the way?
Yeah. Seattle's, I mean, I'm trying to be eco-friendly, but I feel like Seattle's just like another level.
It's the next level hipster. We were talking earlier about that, like, Seattle cold shoulder or Seattle freeze.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit.
It's harsh, man. Oh, man.
I remember my first show, I went to a Vera Project, and it was great. I saw Tiger's Job, but trying to interact with the crowd and trying to make friends.
Yeah, no.
It's not happening.
My first show down in Seattle, I went and saw Memphis Mayfire in Studio 7. And I remember everyone was so friendly until the band played. And, like, this girl who was just so sweet started, like, hardcore dancing and, like, popped me and my friend in the jaw. And that was an interesting moment. She went boom, and then, well, you guys can't see it. She went one way and then the other way with her fist.
Backhand.
She went backhand and then front hand. It was harsh.
Yeah. She fights dirty, or moshes dirty, I guess.
Yeah.
The first show I went and saw in Seattle was Five Iron Frenzy at Showbox at the Market, 2009. That was rad. Those guys were crazy.
Oh, man.
That was a good show.
Johnny, you want to give us your first show in Seattle?
Oh, that was Metallica.
Really?
With my brother. Him and I, we went, and I was just getting into, you know, my first batch of favorite bands, and Metallica ended up being one of them, and I had a blast at that show, and it kind of just blew my mind open.
What was that?
It was at Key Arena, so it was pretty awesome. They had a really awesome stage set up. They had the coffins hanging down and everything.
There's something to be said about, like, those early favorite bands. Like, I remember growing up in high school, because I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, you have to listen to Nirvana or else you're just crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
But then, like, of course, growing up, I listened to AC/DC, all those, like, hard rock bands.
Yep.
And then growing up, now mid-20s, I'd like to think I refined my musical tastes.
Muse.
Get a little more local.
Yeah.
A little bit of Muse toss in there, sure.
Oh, yeah.
They're not bad.
You don't feel like a true music lover until you have, like, a band that's just local that you really like. Just like, oh, you haven't heard of them? Oh, you gotta go see them.
Right?
Yeah.
So we gotta see you guys at Real Life Tacoma, then.
We might be the next favorite.
And Northern Shakedown, because those guys are awesome, too.
Definitely.
And The Public.
Yeah, I'm excited to see The Public, too.
Let's talk about we're going to end it on a track. You guys suggested we end it on Our Skin. Why this track?
This is probably the group's favorite, collective favorite.
Probably,
and lyrically, it's kind of about looking at each other's differences and then, you know, choosing to look past them and see the similarities and then recognizing how easy it is for, you know, the tension to fade.
And doing that makes it a heck of a lot easier to make friends.
Yeah.
And there's a guitar solo in this song that always gets me emotional.
Guitar solo.
The song in its whole just slays. Let's put it honest there. And it's probably one of the six best songs on that EP.
So people should be whipping out some tissues in for that guitar solo.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. Where can people find you? Where are your social media handles? Where are you at? Because I know people are all over the place between, like, are you on LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever?
I am.
So we're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're pretty active on YouTube. We're trying to put out videos, you know, every time we have a show, every kind of month.
We've got an Instagram, too. We all have Twitter pages. We all have Facebook pages.
I don't have a Twitter.
You're a lie. Really?
Do you want to put out your Twitter handle?
Well, mine's Melvin_CIK. I know. Do you have one?
Cashing and Karma.
There you go.
All right.
Until, like,
all one word.
I don't have a personal Twitter anymore, or, like, I have one, I just never use it. I just have my show one, so I get it.
See, that's where my Facebook is. I only use Twitter.
You can add me on Facebook.
There you go.
Perfect.
We also just recently got on Spotify, our new EP.
That's exciting.
So we have two EPs worth of material to listen to.
And are you guys on Bandcamp as well?
Yes, we are.
Perfect.
Definitely. If you want to support, it's available for purchase on Bandcamp, and you can play it anywhere.
That's just Cashing and Karma? Or
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect. Because I know sometimes bands have to do, like, Seattle or Tacoma, or like less specific areas.
Yeah.
It always gets a little awkward at that point.
Yeah.
But gentlemen, thank you for coming in. This is Cashing and Karma. You can catch them at Real Art Tacoma tomorrow night. What time does the show start?
Doors open at seven.
Doors open at seven, so make sure you get there. Parking is always a little weird. Sometimes there's street parking, sometimes there isn't. So make sure you show up early so you get a good parking spot. Without further ado, we got their track On Our Skin.
Thank you.
Bye.